I'm Avi Arditi with Roseanne Skirbel, and this week on Wordmaster, our guest is Professor Rob Jackson, director of the Global Change Center at Duke University. He's with us to explain some of the language of ecology and climate change.
And we start with the term greenhouse gases. These are emissions that trap heat in the atmosphere, but Jackson says not by definition a bad thing.
Without greenhouse gases, life wouldn't exist. The Earth would be a frozen ball of ice. When they trap extra heat, though, they warm the Earth more than has historically been usual and drive up the Earth's temperature.
Well, we have three terms that we'd like to know a little bit more about. One is carbon neutral.
Well, when something is carbon neutral, it means that the activity has no net greenhouse gas emissions. So, for instance, you might offset the fuel that you use by using renewable energy, or even by planting trees to offset your emissions. In practice, there are different levels of being carbon neutral. When you hop in your car, do you count just the gasoline you use, or do you include the fossil fuels that went into making the car or building the roads you drive on? Most people just think about the fuel used.
And what about your carbon footprint?
The term carbon footprint, it's come to mean just the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases that come from a given activity, such as driving your car again. To understand where it comes from, though, you have to know a little environmental history. Back in the early 1990s, an ecologist named Bill Rees coined the term ecological footprint, the amount of land needed to offset or to support resource use and waste for a given population. So that's where the footprint half of carbon footprint comes from. In common use, though, it's lost the link to land area and just refers to net carbon emissions.
So we have carbon neutral, carbon footprint, and a third term, carbon sequestration.
Carbon sequestration is the opposite of a carbon emission. So a sequestration activity is something that takes carbon dioxide back out of the atmosphere and puts it into wood for trees, for example, or stores it below ground in an aquifer or in sediments in the oceans. So you're taking or removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
On Capitol Hill, they're talking about cap and trade and carbon trading. What are these terms? What do they mean?
A carbon trade or a cap and trade works like this. A government or some regulatory body limits the total amount of a pollutant that enters the atmosphere. So this is what people call the cap. The government then issues credits, emissions credits, to the polluters who can sell or trade those credits. That's the term cap and trade. And the system works because it rewards companies that reduce pollution by letting them sell their credits for profit.
And this is something that's popular now in Europe, that's actually in effect in Europe, correct?
It's popular in Europe, though, really because it worked here first, not for carbon dioxide, but for sulfur. Back in the early 1990s, through the Clean Air Act, we implemented a cap-and-trade system for sulfur emissions in the U.S., and it worked very effectively and very efficiently and very quickly to reduce sulfur emissions.
Which, acid rain.
That's correct. So the idea is to take that model and apply it to carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Now, it's more complicated with greenhouse gases, but the principle is the same. And it rewards efficiency. It rewards companies financially for reducing their pollution.
But it's become quite controversial.
Right. That's right. There have been news reports recently that it's not quite as clean or clear-cut as it might seem.
Well, it's controversial for many reasons. It's controversial in how the emissions credits are given out. So, you know, who gets how many credits, how much a company pays for them. It's also controversial because you have to be careful that the carbon dioxide or the greenhouse gas that you're saving through your system isn't being re-emitted somewhere else. So, in other words, if one country sets up a cap-and-trade system to reduce its emissions, but all it does is shunt some activity to another country, and that carbon dioxide ends up in the atmosphere, you really haven't saved anything on a net global basis. It really points out the need for an international system.
And are there terms that you use to describe a situation like that?
A cap-and-trade situation?
Or shunting off passing the buck or something, or passing the carbon. I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, there is a technical term for it. It's called leakage, and it sounds like your bathtub's leaking or something. But the idea is that use of some activity slides off to another location or to some other time that's outside the bounds of your system, and therefore you're sort of losing track of it. You're not accounting for it.
We'll talk more about eco-language next week with Rob Jackson, a professor of biology and environmental sciences at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina.
And that's Wordmaster for this week. With Roseanne Skirbel, I'm Avi Arditi.